It's the 75th anniversary of one of America's iconic classic movies. It didn't start out as an iconic classic movie. It was a bit of a dark movie, but now we understand It's a Wonderful Life to be a wonderful and inspirational Christmas movie. Interesting. How'd that happen? Well, that's what Doug Stebbleton gets into in a unique sort of way. Doug Stebbleton, he's an author, a Hollywood producer, a guy who grew up in Glasgow, Montana, still visits regularly. He wrote a movie script, a unique movie script that was turned into a unique novel series called the Hollywood Time Travel Series. And the first book out of that is called It's a Wonderful Time, where a guy named Evan, along with a scientist named Coop, somehow go back into the 1940s in this first series and get in the middle of Hollywood and L.A. during the production of It's a Wonderful Life. A lot of historical references here for this historical movie. Good interview today, kind of fun. Doug Stebbleton, author and Hollywood producer on Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the show. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and feel free to contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Let's welcome Doug Stebbleton. Doug is from Glasgow, Montana. It might be a name you recognize. He'd been there for a while and then went off to Hollywood. Good morning, Doug. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Nice to be on your show. I appreciate the offer.
Thank you for being here. So you went off to Hollywood at a young age, and you actually did okay. I know we're talking today about this this series that you started with this movie, let's just kick it off with Doug Stebbleton from Glasgow, Montana.
All right. Well, yeah, born and raised in Glasgow. A native Montanan. I love Montana. I still go back every year for Christmas. I have family that still lives there. My sister Diane, who used to own Sam's Supper Club, which is a very famous supper club through the years. She sold it maybe about 10, 15 years ago. But she still lives there. My brother Steve lives there. And then I also have a brother, Joe, who lives actually in Huntley, which is, as you know, right next to Billings. And he has Joe's Tree Service, and he's been there for, gosh, maybe 15 years. So I still have a lot of family in Montana, and I love going back to visit. And I go back every Christmas usually, sometimes in the summer also if I can do it. But so that's my background. Glasgow. I went out to Hollywood when I was 19 years old back in 1984. Went to a music school called Musicians Institute, it was a 1-year school, so I had to make a decision. I could go back to Glasgow and be a big fish in a small pond, or stay in LA and be a small fish in a big pond. And I decided to stay in LA because there was, you know, just more opportunities available out there for someone like me wanting to get into the music business. So that's kind of my beginnings, in short.
Yeah, and you gravitated toward some documentary films, and then obviously there's a lot of music in there too. Became a film producer, and then the author of this series. And I want you to talk about it in your own words, because it's I'll just have you put it. You talked about it being Back to the Future kind of series, and I've been reading excerpts of it. It's nicely written, by the way, Doug. What is this? And then let's get into It's a Wonderful Life, because it's I don't know, how would you describe It's a Wonderful's life hold or place in America?
Okay, well, I'll get to that. I'll answer your first part, and then I'll segue into that last question. So, in the music business for the last 30 years, music publishing, getting songs in film and TV. In 2005, I started producing films, mainly documentaries. I really have a love for World War II history and our veterans, so I've done some films about Normandy and honoring our veterans and interviewing them, which has been a great honor in my life. And then in 2005, I wrote a movie script called Wonderful Time, which was this story that I came up with and tried to get it made in Hollywood. It was like a $20 to $25 million film, but never got it made. Always got good response from the script, but it was usually, you know, not what we're looking for, but a very unique script and great story. So 2 years ago, I decided, well, I might not get this made into a film, but you know what? I could actually make this story into a book, which would be a lot less expensive, and I could still get the story out there. I just have to elongate it a little, make it into a novel. And so that's what I did with my co-author, Reinhard Danke. I'm sorry, is how you pronounce his name. And we got that done in June, and it came out in October. So that's kind of the history of the book. It's called It's a Wonderful Time. HollywoodTimeTravel.com is the website where people can go find out about it. And that's kind of the origins of how that all started. And the reason the back to answer your last question. So why It's a Wonderful Life? Well, it happens to be my favorite film. I grew up, you know, my mom, her name was Ivy. She was born in 31, so she grew up during the Depression and the 40s, and she just always loved that music. I remember hearing it playing in our house all the time. So I grew to love the music of the 30s and 40s and 50s, and also the movies of that era. And so It's Wonderful Life. I'm not sure when I first saw it, but I saw it at one time, and it just blew my mind. It was such an amazing film. You know, they call it a Christmas movie, but it's really not a Christmas movie. It was actually made during Christmas, and the movie takes place during Christmas time, but it's actually a kind of a dark film because it deals with suicide. You know, Jimmy Stewart's going to jump off a bridge because his uncle lost all that money, the $8,000, and it deals with, you know, suicide. And you know, just despair and sacrifice, all these things. Anyway, it's my favorite movie, and I thought, wow, when I came up with this idea of this guy going back to 1940s Hollywood through a time portal, I figured I would pick 1946, which was the year the movie It's Wonderful Life was being produced. You know, the summer from April to July, and that's kind of how the whole Wonderful Life thing became. Part of my script, and basically the way I describe it is like you just said, yeah, Back to the Future meets Midnight in Paris on the set of It's a Wonderful Life. So that's kind of the background.
The movie, well, I kind of want to, let's talk about your characters then, okay? And then we'll get into the movie a little bit, but got a guy named Evan West. He teams up with a guy named Coop. It's really interesting, a little science fiction here, a little history here. And it's, like I said, it's nicely written from what I've read so far.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the guy, when I came up with the idea, I didn't really have a guy's name or anything. I just knew it was going to be a young guy, about 25 years old, and he's getting chased, and he goes underneath this pedestrian walkway that's underneath, that was actually there, and that's how I got the idea, going underneath the 101 freeway. When he came out on the other side, he goes through this time warp, and he ends up in 1940s Hollywood. So that was the whole idea. I just decided, as I said, to pick 1946 because that's the time they made It's a Wonderful Life. And also, I thought it would be an interesting year because it's right after World War II ended. You know, the war had ended in May of 45, so a lot of the guys were coming back from the service and getting, you know, reacclimated to civilian life. And we actually have some of that in the book. Some of the characters are guys that just got back from the war. And so, but I had to, you know, think of his name. So when I came up with the idea in 93, I was thinking, well, if this guy's 25 years old, he was probably born in, you know, 20 to 25 years old, he's probably born in 1968 to 1973. And I was thinking, you know, back then was the hippie movement, you know, so I thought maybe if his parents were hippies, they'd probably call him Evan. That was kind of a name for hippies to call their kid. And I actually always liked that name. So that's how I came up with the name Evan for my main character. And for a last name, I didn't really have a last name, but I thought, well, he's working in Hollywood as a trailer editor in Hollywood and on the West Coast. So I thought I'd just make his last name West. So that's Evan West, and he's the main character of the book.
Doug Stapleton is with us, born and raised in Glasgow, Montana. I went out to Hollywood to become a film producer. I kind of gravitated to that. Now an author, a co-author of this book that we're talking about, the Hollywood Time Travel Series, It's a Wonderful Time. Let's get into it then about this It's a Wonderful Life. Just launch into it, Doug.
So I think it's a lot of people's favorite film. It has an interesting story. When it came out, it was, like I said, produced in the summer of 46. And, excuse me, when it came out in December of 1946, it didn't do very well at the box office. It actually had, you know, lukewarm box office returns. And the reviews were mixed reviews. A lot of people say they were bad reviews. Actually, they weren't bad reviews. There were some mixed reviews overall that actually had better good reviews than bad reviews. When it eventually went over to Europe and in Britain, it actually got bad reviews. That the Brits didn't get it. They just didn't get the movie for whatever reason. But so when it came out, there was also a big snowstorm on the East Coast at this time when it was coming out, and you know, really cold temperatures. So a lot of people didn't go to the movies during that weekend, and the movie suffered from that, not making a lot of movie on, you know, the first weekend is a very important week for movies when they come out, kind of as a gauge to get an idea what it's going to do. So didn't make a lot of money when it came out. And back then, you know, after a movie was out a few weeks, they just kind of shelve it, you know. They didn't have all the stuff we have now with streaming and television was kind of new back in the 40s. And so it just got shelved at RKO. And since it didn't do really well, Republic Pictures was the company that owned it during this time. You know, they owned the film's copyright, and they didn't have much faith in it, and they failed to renew the rights for a second term in 1974. Because of that, it allowed the film went into public domain, and it allowed all the TV channels and stations to share it for free. So from there, it steadily you know, got a new audience of millions of people all around, not just in America, but all around the world. Because all these TV stations were playing it for free for about 20 years. That actually ended in 1994 when NBC ended up buying the rights. But for 20 years, you know, that's why you could... I remember back in the 80s, you know, or in the late 70s and 80s, watching TV at, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas time. It's Wonderful Life would be on Channel 2. Channel 4 would be on again, another segment. Channel 5. So that's how it kind of... that's how it got its legs in a new audience, is they didn't renew the copyright. And thanks to that, millions and millions of people got to learn about the movie, and it's become, you know, it's actually rated on the American Film Institute, rates it as the number one inspirational film of all time. And it's also rated number 11 on the best films, you know, list of all time, number 11 out of all the movies that have been made, which is pretty impressive. So very unique film, and that's kind of the history of why it became so popular in the last, you know, 30, 40 years.
Well, and you had to kind of study that history a little bit, too. Where did you pick up this? You had a love for it. And I suppose, yeah. You know, being in Hollywood, there was probably a lot of information regarding it. How did you incorporate that history into this story?
Well, you're right. I've watched a lot of the movies through the years, and I've read a lot of books on Jimmy Stewart. And there was a book that I bought back in the 80s. Well, not in the 80s. I'm sure it was made in the 80s, but I probably bought it back in the 90s. But it's called The It's a Wonderful Life book. And it's a pretty big, thick book, and it was written by this lady named Janine Basinger, who had gotten access to go into the Capra archives, and she had found, you know, all the Western Union telegrams that were coming in from when the movie came out, and the whole script is in there. You know, back then they had the whole, you know, the Hays Code and stuff, so there was words like, you know, somebody called somebody a jerk, and they crossed that out. You know, you can't use the word jerk, and very, you know, stuff that we laugh at today. But
well, stand by, Doug, because sure. We're going to play a few clips as we come on back as well. Everybody has a certain favorite part of this movie. Movie trailers back then are not what movie trailers are nowadays. Doug Stebbleton is with us here from Glasgow, Montana, and we'll be back with more here of Voices of Montana in just a bit.
Ah, the old swing set. This thing is loaded with history.
And some rust, it would appear.
I remember Joey spending hours out here.
Your home can be a great source of memories and equity.
Swinging back and forth.
Honey, he's 24 and has his own apartment.
Yeah, I guess he wouldn't mind if we landscaped the yard now.
For whatever you need in life, a home equity line of credit from First Interstate can help bring it all home. Learn more at firstinterstate.com. First Interstate, built for you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
75 years. I mean, that's a long time. And it's one of those movies I think that maybe we don't watch every year, but we watch just about every year, or we'll sit down and watch a part of it every year. Eric Young is our most excellent in-studio engineer now. You grabbed a few clips. Throw one out there for us.
I told you, George, I'm your guardian angel.
Yeah, I know. You told me that.
Like that one.
What else are you? What are you? You a hypnotist?
No, of course not.
Well, then why am I seeing all these strange things?
Don't you understand, George? It's because you were not born.
Well, if I wasn't born, who am I?
You're nobody.
Oh, this is some sort of a funny dream I'm having. So long, mister. I'm going home.
Home? What home?
Now, shut up. Cut it out. you're crazy. That's what I think. You're screwy. You're driving me crazy,
oh my
too.
Gosh.
I'm seeing things here.
Doug's...
I'm going home and see my wife and family. You understand that? And I'm going home alone.
Doug Stebbleton, they left the word screwy in the script back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. How could they do that?
I know. They took out the word jerk. You're a jerk, but it's really changed since then. And let's go back. And Doug Stebbleton again with us here as the author of it's a kind of a new series. I want to talk a bit about what you might have planned next, because Evan West with his time machine, and I'm sort of a sci-fi fan, you can just go like into a ton of different places.
Yeah.
But the Hollywood Travel series, It's a Wonderful Time. going back at the making of this story, now 75 years and an iconic classic for a lot of years. Go ahead and finish the, the history part of this. And then I want to talk about how, for me, when I first saw this film and I saw it after it became like an iconic classic, I really did think it was a dark film. It was filmed rather darkly go ahead and put all that together for us.
Okay, good. Well, and just as a mention, so it is called the Hollywood Time Travel Series, so it's going to be a series of books. And this book, which was originally my script, as I mentioned, it's the first book in the series, and it's called It's a Wonderful Time. So we will be going to various decades. You know, there's so many different movies that we could talk about and things and have fun. Basically, you know, it's historical fiction slash time travel. And so we're going to use real events, but we're going to, you know, use some creative license to make things work for our characters. But getting back to your question earlier, yeah, the beginnings of the film, you know, both Jimmy Stewart and Frank Capra were both World War II veterans. And Jimmy Stewart, you know, he actually was a bomber pilot, a B-24 bomber pilot flying out of Europe. And he actually flew 30 combat missions. So when Jimmy got back, you know, those guys took off 4 years to go over and serve our country. And Capra also, he made some documentary films, some propaganda films called Why We Fight. It was the Why We Fight series. But he was also over there, and George Stevens, also Willie Wyler. And so right before the war was, I think even before in 45, Frank Capra had decided when he got back he was going to start a new production company, and he did it with a guy named Sam Briskin, who used to work over at Columbia Pictures for Harry Cohen. And him and Capra did a lot of movies together back in the 30s, you know, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and You Can't Take It With You and that stuff. And so Capra wanted to have the liberty of not having to be under the studio, you know, the big studio system. So he formed Liberty Pictures, and his first partner was you know, Samuel Briskin, but also Willie Wyler came on board, who is a big time director, who did a movie called Best Years of Our Lives in 46, which actually won the Academy Award and beat out It's a Wonderful Life, his business partner. But he had done that with Samuel Golden Productions. But so his second partner was William Wyler. His third partner was George Stevens, who was also a big-time movie director, and he was over, shooting scenes from the war. He was at the Normandy invasion and all the way to Berlin and Dachau and the camps. So these guys came back, you know, really changed men after, you know, a lot of their stuff was kind of fun and, you know, slapstick movies and Fred Astaire and this and that and dance movies. But when they came back, you know, these guys had changed. They had seen a lot. And so, but that was Capra's company, Liberty Films, and those were his partners. But to get back to what you had said, yeah, the movie is known as a Christmas film, but it actually is not a very happy movie, except that it does deal, it happens during Christmas time, but it's very kind of a dark film. You know, it deals with suicide and despair and, you know, sacrifice, disappointment. Jimmy, you know, his character George Bailey, he's wanted to travel the world. His favorite three sounds are train whistles and you know, boat horns and all that stuff. And he never gets to leave the town. He's always rescuing everybody, right? He's rescuing his brother from drowning. He rescues the town of Bedford Falls from Potter and the druggist from, you know, poisoning a kid with, you know, by accident. But Uncle Billy going to an insane asylum. You know, when he gets to see what the town would have liked without him. His wife from being, you know, a repressed, lonely lady working in the library, and just, you know, he did really have an impact in everybody's life. He didn't realize it, and even when he's going to jump off the bridge, you know, the angel jumps in and he ends up rescuing the angel and doesn't even get to commit suicide. So George's character is such an interesting guy, and at the end of the movie, you know, it is a happy ending because, you know, the whole town comes together and. And it's just amazing how everybody pitched in. He realized that he did have a wonderful life. So it is a dark film, but there is such good things. There's hope, and it just has the most, you know, just the best ending ever. So
yeah, it does. You know, we want to come back after a short break here. Got some headlines upcoming with Brian Bennett, but
sure.
To talk about how that is even more relevant, I think, and we see in today's world with more at least education and awareness about suicide and suicide prevention. So we're back with more Doug Stebbleton here from Glasgow, Montana. He's the author of the Hollywood Time Travel series, It's a Wonderful Time, which goes back in time and looks at the making of this It's a Wonderful Life, now 75 years. We're back after more. Here's Brian Bennett with headlines.
The holiday season means more travel and quality time with extended family and friends. With COVID cases surging nationwide and the highly contagious Delta variant widespread in Montana, get vaccinated now to keep your family healthy. The COVID-19 vaccine is safe, effective, and free. Especially this time of year, it's the best way to protect yourself, your family, and your community. Visit covidvaccine.mt.gov to find a vaccine near you. Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services.
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine. That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
Oh, it's kind of fun to hear those old clips. This is from It's a Wonderful Life. Again, 75 years in the making. Doug Stapleton is with us. He's used this story as the launch of his Hollywood Time series. He's from Glasgow, Montana, now living in Hollywood, a film producer. Has produced Heroes of World War II, the European Campaign, other noted military kinds of documentaries. But this one is called It's a Wonderful Time. And Doug, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. I just want to get a quick word in there about, you know, as you write this and you're living in today's society and we're looking at, especially in Montana, suicide being a real difficult issue for us. How did that play? How'd that play out for you?
You mean in the book? How'd we deal with it?
Yeah, in the book. Yeah. And I'm sure you incorporated some modern thinking regarding it.
Well, yeah, we did. We in the book, you know, we did deal with some spiritual aspects because it's not like a Christian book or anything, and the movie script was not at all. But when we were Reinhardt and I were making it into a novel, we thought we would tap into that a little because, you know, in the movie itself, remember, it starts out in heaven where God's saying, hey, there's a lot of people praying for this guy George Bailey. He really needs our help, and that's when they send down Clarence the Angel. And so And he was dealing with suicide because he was dealing with a lot of stuff. So, yeah, so we did put some spiritual things in there in regards to, you know, Evan definitely is like a believer in God. And when you believe in God, you have some hope in life, you know, and after you die. And then Coop, the other guy, actually, his faith is even more important because he grew up in Harlem in the 1880s going to a Baptist church and stuff. So, we are not hitting anybody over the head with that stuff, but we really wanted to kind of incorporate a few things like that because we think that, we know that at least America would really appreciate that because a lot of people are Judeo-Christian background is very important. Unfortunately, our country, I think, is veering away from that a little by little, but I'm hoping things could change. But so, yeah, we deal with that. And I do, as you said, you know, I've done some military stuff, so I've learned a lot also about our veteran guys who are 22 or even 22 guys commit suicide a day, which is just terrible.
Yeah.
So that's a real issue. We didn't get into it too deep into the book because that's what wasn't what is about, but that's a real important thing. But I think, you know, the bottom line for me, actually as a Christian, is people need hope, and there's not a lot of hope in the world. So I would encourage people to get into read the Bible and find hope, you know, through what Jesus did. This is the season, right? We're celebrating Christmas right now, so what a better time to share the good news of the gospel. And there's a lot of people that are looking for good news. So that's what I would say.
Amen, and thank you for that. Now we got less than a minute. I had two questions, and I won't have time for them both. It's been well received is one, and then two, what are you doing next?
So next is right now I'm reading some books on MGM, Louis B. Mayer, different people. It'll be another book two will be about Hollywood again. I'm not going to say it's in a certain decade, but I can't get into too much.
Come on.
Movie, it's actually about a person, but it's still around the movie business, and it's a very unique person, and we are really excited. But that's about all I can tell you. But that's the whole premise is, Coop and Evan, they found it's almost like providence. That there's a purpose and a mission in their lives to help these things get done the way they should be done.
Well, I look forward to that. Out of time, Doug Stapleton, co-author along with Renard Denke, and the book again, The Hollywood Time Travel Series, It's a Wonderful Time. Back with more here in just a bit.